Well, I spent a few days in Alabama. I got in there Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, and came back Sunday. We did a little mancation with a guy who was best man in my wedding. I was best man in his wedding, and we went and played 36 holes of golf on Friday and 36 holes of golf on Saturday, and it was nice and warm, and we were outside, and I did manage to put some sunscreen on, and because we both look like we're birch trees for legs, I think is probably the appropriate way to describe our legs and arms, and of course on our minds, preventing and treating skin cancers, and now that April's here, lots of people, you're probably going to be shedding your winter clothing too and embracing the sun a little bit, and I guess that's when the sun can do some damage. Dr. Dick Niles, our guest today, practicing dermatologist in Oconomowoc and Watertown. He's been doing it for more than 25 years, been a regular guest on our show. He's a member of the American Academy of Dermatology, and we'll be speaking with him for the next 45 minutes or so about preventing and treating skin cancers or carcinomas. Pleased to have him along, and if you want to join in with your own questions or experience, feel free at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. Give us a call. Dr. Niles, with us by phone. Hi, thanks for taking time to be with us.
Morning, Larry. It's a beautiful day out there. Welcome back from Alabama.
Yeah, I put, I purchased, here's something. I purchased some, I think it was 30 was the screen number on it. And I bought, it actually was sort of a spray, because I didn't want to get it all over my hands. And I wondered after because I was golfing, and I wondered after the fact if those aerosol spray kinds of applications are as good as just lathering on some other things.
You know, I wonder if they might actually be better. I've had some samples of sprays in the past, and I've used them, I think, pretty effectively. I think that might even be easier to put on than the cream. And you may have seen somebody end up with one big patch that they missed with rubbing it on in the past. They got this big square on their back where they have a sunburn. But I think maybe the sprays are a little bit wasteful because they might go into the air, but I suspect that maybe we get them more uniformly on our skin. I think they should be okay.
I certainly thought I did a better job with the spray can than I've done in the past, just doing it by hand, because you miss spots. And it's just easier to apply. Well, let's talk about basal cell carcinoma. It's the most common form of skin cancer, is it not?
It's very common. It's common in those people who have been in the sun repeatedly, chronic sun exposure over many years. And although we would expect that to be in somebody who is maybe 70 or 80 years old, I do see some younger, and I don't know if I can really say this, younger and younger, but I do see some people even in their early 30s, maybe a young woman on the chest where she's had a lot of sun in the past. Common thing, usually sort of a pearly or translucent bump, probably not bigger than a pea ordinarily, and oftentimes will bleed and then heal over, and then in a few weeks bleed again. It's real fragile, and they're easy to take care of, but they're common from a lot of sun over many, many years.
Is it? But it needs to be taken care of, I assume.
Yeah, if you leave them long enough, then the scar just needs to be bigger and bigger and bigger to remove it. So it's not going to go away on its own. Although these don't go inside and do any harm, they are primarily on the surface of the skin, and it's might as well have it done when it's small rather than when it's big, so the scar is not very big.
And one other question, this one relates to melanoma. I guess the chances, if you look back 50 years or so, that your chances of getting that were pretty low. Today, it's relatively high, if I'm not mistaken.
It seems as though we are seeing more and more melanomas. I think that's true in my practice. I finally actually added them up. I have never really added them up. And I used to say I see 6, but actually I see 12 melanomas a year pretty routinely for the last 3 or 4 years. We are seeing more of them. I think we're probably finding them a lot earlier when they're just barely melanomas when they've gone from the pre-melanoma stage just to sneaking down to the skin. And so I think we're seeing a lot of those early ones. Occasionally there are those bad ones that are deep that are tragedies, but most of them are the early small ones that are removed easily.
But the once they're in there, they can, it can be very serious.
It can be very serious. I think we all know there's always someone who's in their 30s or 40s in any community that, you know, the young mother who has two teenagers at home who's dying of melanoma. That's a story that seems to be always in every community. And there was just someone, 38, that died recently in that was a patient of mine that I first saw and had a melanoma and cut it out that day. But it was deep, and despite the appropriate kinds of treatments, which are basically cutting it out and putting some stitches in and checking the lymph nodes, there aren't any other dramatic and effective chemotherapies or radiation. So we rely on getting them when they're early because they're just so easy to cure when they're shallow.
Hmm. Well, let's take some calls. If you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Susan in Wausau, we'll give you a chance. Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning.
Is, I think, a pretty simple call, but I have a sister-in-law who was 46 when she had her first basal cell carcinoma removed, and she continues to sunbathe intentionally. And it's I haven't been really sure what she's been told by the doctor, whether, you know, it doesn't matter if you continue to sunbathe. Or is there any statistic to say if you can, more exposure causes a better chance of getting it, or if you've had most of your damage by the time you're 45? Or
well, the damage accumulates. So whether the damage happens when you're 7 or 45 or 70, it's the same amount of damage.
Okay.
So I think I see patients that cut back on their sun exposure after they've had some sun damage spots or basal cell skin cancer, and I think that their skin tends to normalize a little bit, and the number of precancerous and skin cancer spots calm down. But the problem is with these that are the basal cell skin cancers is that it's not that big a deal.
Okay.
So people probably aren't thrust into making a life-changing decision. And she may say to herself, well, you know, if 4 years from now I have another basal cell skin cancer and they cut it out and they leave the scar that they left before, I can deal with that. I just have to do this for my psychological health. I have to be out there. Or she may have some compulsion, or she may just, you know, not care. I suspect that she knows that this is related to the sun. I can't imagine that not being the case.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling, Susan. And let's go to Bev in Green Bay. Bev, hello to you.
Hello.
Morning.
Called to ask you about a treatment other than surgery for basal cell carcinoma. What do you think of using Effudex or something like that?
There are new things available. We always have relied on some sort of surgery, cutting it out and putting stitches in, scraping it out because they're mushy and letting them heal over. We don't use much radiation anymore. It's just too complicated. You have to go every day for 3 weeks or something like that. Nobody wants to do that. But there are some new treatments that are on the horizon and are already started. Effudex is a drug called 5-fluorouracil. It is basically a chemotherapy. And you rub it on your skin to get rid of the precancerous spots. So far, and that's been out for 20 years or 30 years or a long time, that doesn't seem to get rid of the basal cell skin cancers, but it does a good job on the ones that are precancerous. However, Aldera, which is a new cream in the last 3 or 4 years, when you rub it on a certain spot, it sort of recruits your immune system to get mad at whatever you want to get mad at there. And it was originally used for warts and for genital warts to start out. It could get through the FDA faster, I guess, that way. But it can get rid of some warts, and it does a good job on precancerous spots. And I've used it on some basal cell skin cancers, And I think the cure rate is something like 80% in a few of the small studies that have been done. So I use that on maybe difficult skin cancers. Maybe you have something that we're not quite sure of next to your eye, and do we want to biopsy it, or do you want to use this Aldera for a month and see if it'll go away? So that is available, and I use that a fair amount now on sort of odd skin cancers.
Yeah.
Is there any downside of using Aldera or Effudex?
Well, it makes so if you're going to recruit your immune system to get mad at this thing, it's going to get mad. And you're going to have a red raw spot there for about a month. So that's the downside. The other potential downside is, do you get rid of most of it, not all of it, and then will you have a problem again 3 or 4 years down the line that we sort of covered up a little bit? I don't think that's much of a problem. It's more the idea that you put the stuff on every day or every other day. It's a little tedious, and then it's a bright red nickel-sized spot there for a while.
Hmm.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today with Dr. Dick Niles, a practicing dermatologist in Oconomowoc in Watertown. He's been doing it for a long time. He's a member of the American Academy of Dermatology, visiting with him today about preventing and treating skin cancer or carcinoma. He'll be with us till 12:30 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here talking preventing and treating skin cancers today with Dr. Dick Niles, practicing dermatologist in Oconomowoc and Watertown. Been doing that for more than 25 years. He's a member of the American Academy of Dermatology and comes by to visit with us either in person or by phone, today by phone, about how we can prevent and treat these skin cancers. Certainly looking forward to hearing what you have to say or ask about it. Give us your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. And Gene in Oshkosh has been waiting quite a while, so let's go right to Gene. Gene, hi. Thank you for waiting.
Hi. Good afternoon, Larry. Dr. Niles.
Hi.
I've been diagnosed with basal cell carcinoma in the relatively near the left eye in the temple area. And I'm scheduled for a procedure called the Mohs procedure.
Yeah.
Would you care to comment on it and how large a negative margin would be acceptable?
Well, Frederick Mohs was a surgeon in Madison at UW in the 40s and invented the technique of taking off layer after layer of skin and then checking the undersurface of this layer that's taken off. So normally when you look at something under the microscope, you take out a piece of skin and then you cut it like a loaf of bread. But he found that sometimes the skin cancer was in between the cuts and crept out into the skin beyond, and you couldn't tell. And you aren't going to do infinite cuts through that thing. You're not going to cut the loaf of bread infinite times. So he basically cut takes out a saucer kind of skin, and then they look at the undersurface, and if they find that in the right corner there's still some basal cell skin cancer, then they go down and take that off. And therefore, you don't take off skin that doesn't need to be taken off. You just take off what's necessary. And then when you find that all of the undersurface is okay, that there aren't any basal cell skin cancer or squamous cell skin cancer cells or even melanoma cells there, then you stop. And that's all. So it conserves tissue, it keeps as much skin there as possible, and you are absolutely sure, 99.99% sure, that the whole thing is gone at that visit. So that's a good thing to do close to the eye.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gene.
Welcome.
Laurel in Stevens Point, it's your turn now. Hi, Laurel.
Hello there.
What can we do for you?
Well, my question is, because we know that tanning booths are so harmful to young people and adults as well, and they claim that it gives a good base tan, how come we are still allowing these booths to be made available to people? And, you know, what can we do as consumers to help shut those things down? Because I personally believe that they are very dangerous for our young people.
Well, there are a lot of, especially teenage girls before the prom or before some big event, that will go tanning. And there certainly are a lot of, I think primarily young women, but there probably are some sort of bodybuilding kind of men, young men that are almost addicted to the whole thing. And they need to have this dark color all the time. Most people think that it does give you a good base. There were tests done that show that really if you go tanning before you go down to Florida, you only get the equivalent of a number three or number four sunscreen. So you might just be fooling yourself about how much sunscreen you have to use. We do occasionally, dermatologists do occasionally encourage people to have some tanning sessions for various skin disorders like psoriasis, and in fact in psoriasis find that their incidence of skin cancer is less than the normal population even though they're in the sun more. So it's generally not helpful for your skin. There are some instances where it is a good thing to do, but there are people that are hooked on it, and that's a problem.
Okay.
I can't tell you about the politics, so I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
Now, the other question I have quickly is that I noticed I had a spot on my nose already burned off several years ago, and I'm noticing another couple spots, and I probably will be visiting my dermatologist soon. Is there, other than that flaky skin, that's what they called precancer in my case, is there any other indicators?
No, the precancerous spots, the actinic keratoses, are usually rough spots that just sort of peel off and grow back and peel off and grow back, and you peel it off one day and you feel it the next couple of days, it's fine, and then, oops, it's right back in the same spot, and finally after a few months you get the idea and it says, oh yeah, that's one of those precancerous spots, I should have it frozen off or taken care of in some way.
Okay, and then the third question I have is that ultimately when I was a young woman, I had acne and I had treatments with light. And does that impact the increase of skin cancer because I did have that ultraviolet when I was a teenager?
I suppose a little. I don't know of any studies that have been done. We know that the studies have been done with radiation in the past, and there was not an increased incidence of thyroid cancer. But I don't think anybody's looked at you all 20 or 30 years down the line.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, thank you very much. You have a great show. Keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Laurel.
Bye-bye.
Mark in Beaver Dam, on to you. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I have a question regarding you just mentioned with the previous caller, the AK.
Yes.
Is that treatable?
Sure.
Okay, I've tried Effudex as well as, I think it's Aldara.
Yes.
Neither of those have worked for me, and I'm just wondering if there's something I can do at home, maybe buy through a grocery store or a drugstore that
no.
Would... Okay.
No. The reason that either Aldara or Effudex wouldn't work is either because it's one of those few resistant ones, and maybe it's already a mild skin cancer, or that you got the wrong diagnosis to start with. Commonly, if things don't respond the way I think they should respond, I go back and figure out if I really had the right diagnosis to start with. And maybe you have seborrheic keratoses and they're not going to be corrected with anything. Liquid nitrogen works almost all the time. So if you have a few, I just have them liquid nitrogened and be done with them.
Okay. How much time should I give this stuff? And that I've tried it for 6 months now, and I just haven't seen any.
I'd say five fewer months than you've used.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a month.
I've tried it for a long time.
Yeah.
And what about warts? I've tried the Aldara as well as the Effudex just on, I'd call it a common wart.
It's not that great for a common sort of big wart on your finger. That's where we really like to use the liquid nitrogen and hurt you big and give you a big blister.
All right.
Anything with duct tape? I've heard rumors on that.
Yeah, well, if you really want to put the same piece of duct tape and keep it there for 6 weeks, it might help.
Okay.
I can't imagine somebody really wanting to do that,
though. No. All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Mark. Mary Beth in Waukesha, we turn to you now. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi.
I have a question. My daughter and son were on Accutane when they were teenagers. They're now 29 and 31. I'm not concerned about my son because he never burned with it, but my daughter played tennis, and she was on the high school tennis team, mm-hmm. and one particular day, it was very warm. It was in fall, but it was extremely warm. And we had 50, number 50 on her, but she still burned really, really, really badly. And I'm very concerned. She's 31 now, and I'm very concerned about her future as far as with those burns that she had while on Accutane. And I'm just wondering what you would suggest we watch out for. And then I have another question after that.
Okay. Well, briefly, Accutane does increase sun sensitivity slightly. It's not usually a big deal. I don't make much of about that. But if she has had a sunburn from whatever reason, then I think that if she keeps an eye, especially on her face, where she may have had the sunburn or wherever it is, and looks every year or maybe twice a year, I'm always looking for the black sheep of the flock. I'm looking for the one spot that doesn't belong when I look for melanoma. And if she has a sun damaged spot and it sits there for a year or two and doesn't get treated, it's easy to take care of, and she may just have a little bit bigger scar. But melanomas are what we're really looking for from those big sunburns, and you probably can only get one melanoma at a time. It's pretty unlikely to get more than one,
okay,
just on a statistical basis. So if she looks at her body and you or her husband or somebody looks at her back and doesn't see anything that stands out, that should be okay.
Okay, well, my concern is she's extremely fair. My son is olive skin, but she's very, very, very fair, a real white blonde,
mm-hmm,
is what she was. So, we do have melanoma in the family, so I'm just very concerned about it. At that time, they did say that Accutane did cause your skin to burn, be more susceptible to burn. So,
that's true, but it's not much of a problem.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better. Now, my next question and my last question is, I was in Cancun, and my lips, we were there for 3 weeks, and my lips burned very, very much to the point where they were like twice the normal size.
Wow.
I'm just wondering, I have this little thing on my lower lip that I can feel that my husband said, it's just a tiny little whitehead, but it feels larger than that. To me, you know what I mean? I have a sensitivity in a larger area.
Sure.
Do you think it bears getting checked out?
Yes. If it's a little whitehead from gooping up your lips with Vaseline and other stuff like that, it could be just pricked out and gone, and then you're done with it. If it's a if it's a little precancerous spot, it could be frozen with liquid nitrogen, and you're also done. So have it taken care of.
I think I will, because it's actually been more than 2 months since we came back,
sure,
and it's still there. So
yep,
sure.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Welcome.
Yep. Thanks, Mary Beth. Appreciate it. And let's see, on to Kim, I believe, in Muskego is next. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Very interesting show today. I'm learning a lot. And I have a question that doesn't pertain to myself, but I have heard that people who've had melanoma aren't allowed to donate blood into the general supply. And I just wonder if the doctor could explain why that's true.
I'm unaware of that.
I think it's cancer in general.
Yeah, I think that probably it is cancer in general. I don't know that there's anything specific about melanoma. I'm not sure that anybody could transfer it, but I think cancer in general is just a general rule that that exists, so that you don't have to pry too much into the patient's history or find out or have them make sure that it's not this cancer, it's that cancer. So I think any cancer probably just eliminates you from the pool.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Have some open lines. We'll get you on pretty fast. And Deb in Milwaukee, you're next. Hi, Deb.
Hi. I just had a little mold taken off, and they said it was melanoma. And I was just wondering, just what is melanoma?
Well, melanoma is an important cancer of the skin. The other ones are not as important. If the melanoma is shallow, then that is less than 1 millimeter deep, then one is easily cured by cutting it out,
mm-hmm,
with a wound that might be, let's say, an inch across and maybe 3 inches long.
Yeah.
That kind of a wound.
Yeah.
If it is a little bit deeper than 1 millimeter, then we might look at those lymph nodes that are close by, and a surgeon would do a sentinel node
biopsy
where they inject a little bit of dye or radioactivity into the wound, and then they find the first lymph node that goes to, and then remove that. The idea is if it ain't there, it ain't no place.
Okay. Like you were just talking before about it, that it's basically in one spot. And that's basically all it was just one spot on my thigh.
Right.
But I guess he said it was like 6 millimeters deep. And so I guess that's a little more deeper than you think it should be.
Well, 6 millimeters sounds like an awfully deep one. I wonder if you misheard him and he really said 0.6 millimeters deep.
No, he said it was a very deep one. So I guess that's why he wants to go in and take more out and do the lymph node.
Yes. Yes.
So is there anything else I can do to, work on it, or?
Well, what I generally do is if I have one that's deep, I will have a surgeon remove it and do the sentinel node dissection, and I'll have you talk with the oncologist at the cancer center that's local to you and see if they have any other ideas for what you might do.
Okay, so I should really talk to that oncologist before we...
I would talk to them both. You don't have to talk with... You can be in any order because you're still going to have the same treatment by the surgeon.
And
the surgeon will also send you to the oncologist.
Okay, he was saying that I should go talk to, so...
Yep. Absolutely. And then you'll have to do a bunch of tests, chest x-rays and et cetera, to just stage things to make sure that you're okay or if there's something beyond what just the local problem is.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck, Deb.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Pam in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Pamela.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Very interesting topic. Couple questions. One being, person that uses a light box for seasonal affect disorder, is there any increased risk there?
No studies have been done yet that I have seen. I suspect there's going to be a little bit increased, but I think that's mostly... the visible kind of light. I honestly don't know which wavelength that is. So you can't really get sunburn from fluorescent bulbs or from indoor bulbs. And I don't know if they use ultraviolet A or B or if it's just visible light that's used in those bulbs.
Yeah, because they typically tell you to sit pretty close to them and do it daily. And then my other question is, I have a mole in the center of my back that's very, very dark, gotten much larger, and it's on that real thin skin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that typically something to be concerned about?
Well, if it looks a whole lot different than all its other buddies on your back, then I would have it looked at and removed. If you also have seven others that look just like it, then statistically you can't have any real problem. But if it's growing, it's bigger, it's different than the other ones, have it looked at.
Yeah, it's the only one.
Okay, I'd have it looked at.
How would they typically remove something like that and check it?
I would usually inject 3 seconds of Novocaine and just shave it off flat with the skin. Generally, the most abnormal part of the mole is on the surface, so you have the surface, but you haven't caused a deep-down scar, and we know that the back doesn't heal very well, so you don't want to do much cutting on the back, otherwise you might get a thick scar. But you can get all the information ordinarily by shaving off that growth.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. Richard in Manitowoc. Hi to you.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I don't know if you want to talk to me. I have on my left hand, the knuckle on the little finger and the next finger had a wart on each of those knuckles like the size of a small dime.
Mm-hmm.
And about that same thickness, too.
Sure.
Oh, for 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to just take and dig them off with my fingernail, pull the roots out, and then I'd clip them off with my fingernail clipper and throw the pieces away, and it made a bloody mess, but it didn't bother me. Okay. I fractured my wrist, and that was doctored up for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And now, this is almost a year later, my fingernails on that hand grow like crazy, and the warts disappeared.
Well, I believe both those things can happen. Odd things happen infrequently. So people can get rid of warts. Your immune system is really what we want to jazz up to get rid of the warts, and for some reason your immune system just decided that it would recognize these warts as being foreign and would attack them and get rid of them. So that happens once in a while. People do get rid of warts once their immune system gets mad, and that's one of the things that I try to do is to encourage their immune system locally to start to respond. The fingernails, the growth of fingernails is sometimes affected by blood flow to an arm, and maybe that's different now. I don't have any great ideas about that one, though.
Hmm. Interesting. Thanks, Richard. Tracy and Shano, your turn. Hi, Tracy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my time, Doctor.
Welcome. Sure.
I have a friend that has a skin disease called hidradenitis suppurativa.
Sure.
And I was wondering, I had heard that that can sometimes lead to cancer. Can you enlighten me on this? And what are your suggestions for treatment?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's not going to lead to cancer. Almost nothing leads to cancer. People talk about that all the time, but that almost never happens. Hidradenitis suppurativa is basically, think about having, and this is not a pleasant thing right at lunchtime, but think about having these big boils and pockets of draining pus in your armpits, groin, under the breasts, maybe buttocks, and these are constantly draining with some foul-smelling stuff. It's really a devastating problem, and people have a little bit or have a lot, and there are various treatments that include antibiotics, injections of cortisone, cutting open some of these areas and draining them out, and then maybe letting them heal without putting stitches in, so they have sort of a flat, open scar, and Accutane, the vitamin A derivative drug that we use in acne. And then there are some new treatments with even some of the new, very expensive biological drugs that are out. So it's a miserable problem that's genetic. And a tough one, but we can make a bunch of difference with that, I think.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Don and Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Don.
I've had a bunch of skin cancers, and we won't go into all of them, but I was going to mention, number one, I've had two Mohs surgeries, and one was behind the ear, but in both cases, it's very hard to find anybody who does Mohs surgery in the state of Wisconsin. There aren't that many. And number two, I've had two melanomas about 6 years apart. The first one was what they called, I think, a grade four, and it was done at Marshfield, and it was quite extensive. The second one was just about a couple of months ago, and that was very small. They got almost all of it just with the biopsy, but they were only about an inch apart. Is there an area where they're just growing, or?
Yeah, okay.
Well, two things. The Mohs surgeons in Madison do a fabulous job, and since it takes maybe just a morning or an afternoon ordinarily, that one day of travel probably isn't too restrictive, but I think they do a really great job there, and they have a whole clinic that works well. Almost no one has ever no one has ever complained about going to the Mohs surgeons in Madison. So they're great, and there are going to be some people in Marshfield, and I would think Gunderson Clinic and Milwaukee and other places too. The second melanoma could be just a fluke that it came up in that area because you had all that sun in that spot. They're also called melanomas in transit, where you have a second melanoma that is basically related somehow to the first one. That first one, in its some of the melanoma cells left the first one and started traveling, and they took up residence just a couple of inches away.
Okay. Boy, with that, we're out of time. Dr. Niles, thank you so much for being with us today.
Welcome,
really,
Larry.
Appreciate it. Dr. Dick Niles practices dermatology in Oconomowoc and Watertown. He's a member of the American Academy of Dermatology. Does a great job. We'll have him back. I hope he'll be with us again. And boy, thank you for listening. And please stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.